This is the third in a series of studies on the basics of salvation. We've seen in our previous studies that all men are lost, that all sinned and all will be judged. We also saw that God became man so that he could provide salvation for mankind. We briefly saw three works which Christ did on the cross. That is, he satisfied God, he paid the price for our sins, and he made peace, popularly or theologically known as propitiation, redemption, and reconciliation. We wish to consider this in this study as what must a man do to be saved? And the answer is simple. Believe. In Acts 16:31, the Philippian jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Man still needs to ask this question. And Paul responded, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Why? Or believe what? Well, in the context, believe to be saved, that's why he's supposed to believe. But who or what? Well, to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of his names that Paul stated, the Lord Jesus Christ, each one of those names tells us part of the good news. Lord means that Jesus is deity. He's God. The jailer, in fact, thought Paul and Silas were gods, represented by the word sirs in some of our English Bibles in verse 30. But Paul spoke to him the word about the Lord, verse 32. Paul explained that Jesus is God. Then the name Jesus, we come to, means that he's man. He's the Savior who died for our sins. And finally, Christ means he is the resurrected and glorified one. Paul explained these truths about the Lord so that the jailer could believe. He could not believe without knowing what and in whom he was to believe. The members of the jailer's house had to believe for themselves, and the scriptures tell us that they did, according to verse 34. This passage doesn't mean that a parent can believe for his child. The child also must believe. Well, it isn't easy to believe. In fact, it's impossible. But we want to see that believing isn't a work. Romans 4:5 is very strong on this point. One is to believe, not work. Therefore, believing cannot be a work. If you're supposed to believe but not work, the two can't be the same. One is saved by grace through faith, according to Ephesians 2:8. No one is saved by his own works, according to verse 9. No one can boast in his own works, since he's not saved by his works, but by Jesus Christ's work on the cross, according to verse 9. So what is biblical faith? Faith gives substance to or makes real the things that are hoped for, according to Hebrews 11:1. Substance, in some of our English Bibles in that verse, is the Greek word hypostasis, the undergirding, the substance, the solid framework. Faith makes a thing hoped for real. It gives it a solid framework so that one can act upon it. Now, hope in turn results from a promise, according to Acts 26:6. You can't just hope for something. There has to be a reason for it. The reason for the hope is a promise. In fact, in Acts 26:6 we have the hope from. In fact, hope involves something which one doesn't see, according to Romans 8:24. If you see it, what are you hoping for it for? The promise of the gospel is salvation. And the following scriptures illustrate a promise connected with the good news or the gospel. In Acts 10:43, one who believes in Jesus Christ is promised forgiveness of sins. In Acts 13:38, the same promise is found. Acts 13:39 adds the promise of justification, that is, being declared righteous. So when a person believes the gospel, he's believing that he will be forgiven and declared righteous with God. That's why he believes the good news. Then we want to see that biblical faith is not self-generated. The word faith in Ephesians 2:8 is part of a gift. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter in Greek, and in the Greek, gift is a neuter noun. Grace and faith are feminine nouns. Saved is a masculine participle. So, to what does the neuter noun refer? Greek uses the neuter pronoun with gift to describe the whole thing. Being saved by grace through faith. It's all a gift. We find in Philippians 1:29 that it has been graciously given to you to believe. The word given is the Greek word charis, a word meaning grace. And it indicates that it is a provision from God, not something which God gave them to do. 2 Peter 1 and verse 1 states that we have obtained an equally precious faith. Some of your Bibles say, like precious faith. This faith is found in 2 Corinthians 4:4, where it is God commanding light to shine into darkness. Finally, in Acts 16:14, we find faith pictured as an act of God opening Lydia's heart. In each of these instances, God provides them not only the good news, not only holds out salvation to them, but gives them what they need to believe in that salvation. He gives them the faith. What about repentance? Many think of repentance as crying or sorrow. They think in order for a person to be saved, they have to feel really, really bad about the things that they've done. However, the Bible presents repentance as an activity of the mind. Repentance is a translation of the Greek word metanoeo. It comes from meta, which means after, and noeo, which means to think or to be mindful of. The word literally means to think after. Repentance is an afterthought, a change of thinking or mindfulness. It's not a change of feelings. In fact, a change of feelings is represented by the Greek word metamelomai, from meta and mellow, which meant to care or be concerned for. That's not what this word repentance is. It is translated, metamelomai is actually translated repent in Matthew 27:3, but it should be translated regret. Judas regretted what he had done when he betrayed Christ, but he didn't change his mind. He felt differently about it, but he still thought the same things. Repentance is not sorrow. It can result from sorrow, as seen in 2 Corinthians 7:9 and 10. Verse 10 reads, "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret." You see that? Sorrow, according to God's will, can produce repent, but it isn't repentance. So how is repentance related to faith in the gospel? We find in Acts 20:21 that Paul preached repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. That's because some people needed to change their minds regarding God and believe that Christ Jesus is God. Some people needed to change their minds regarding God and believe that there is only one God, who is Christ Jesus. The Jews were part of the first group because they believed that there was only one person who is God. And the Gentiles were part of the second group because they believed that there were many gods. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, we see that God announces that all men everywhere are to repent. But it's in verse 29 we find that they were to change their minds, that God is not a God made of silver or gold or made by men's hands. And in verse 31, they need to believe that God would judge the world of mankind by Jesus Christ, who is raised from the dead. So repentance is simply a changing of one's mind. When one doesn't believe in God, he needs to change his mind and believe in God. When one doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is God, he needs to change his mind and believe that Jesus Christ is God. And when one doesn't believe that Jesus Christ died for his sins and rose again the third day, he needs to change his mind and believe that he did. When one doesn't believe that his salvation is based on Christ's death and resurrection alone, apart from any works that he might do, he needs to change his mind and believe that he will be saved by God's grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. In each of these situations, repentance is the change from unbelief to belief. So what does a person have to do to be saved? He has to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to believe that Jesus is God, and that Jesus died on the cross for his sins, and that as Christ he is risen and alive today. And if he believes that, with the purpose of being forgiven, and with the purpose of being declared righteous with God, he will be saved.